You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I totally understand if that's a little bit too much for you to process this early in the morning. If you are waking up, well, we just jolted you back to reality. Sorry to interrupt whatever sweet snoozing dreams you were having. Have you ever noticed that when you hit snooze, sometimes you either pick up on a dream that you were having when you were jolted into consciousness by your obnoxious alarm, or it's the opposite, where you close your eyes again, or in my case, you don't even open your eyes. You know exactly how to shut off the alarm and hit the snooze. So you go over and you smack it with one arm, and then you fall back asleep so quickly because maybe you're in the middle of REM or a deep sleep, and then you have this dream, and it feels like the dream went on forever, except that it was only 5 minutes. At least my snooze is only 5 minutes. It just that kind of half, well, it's not really consciousness. It's just a lighter sleep then after you first hear the alarm. I have all kinds of nutty dreams. I know it happens at least once a week that my dream incorporates the loud noises of my alarm. So either someone's yelling at me or there's another loud noise, and then I finally wake up and it's actually the alarm. I guess if I continue to avoid paying tickets that were given to me unfairly, well, then maybe it will start to be the police siren that I hear in my dreams. Oh, goodness. I can't help it. It's the principle of the thing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. Thanks so much for joining us. We're inside the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly paid extra for these sirens. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back for every $150 they spend. The sirens do not come with your O'Reilly purchase. It's fast, but not fast enough to break the law. Easy and free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So see the store for details. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The NBA offseason quickly escalated into the kind of soap opera that's almost not believable. Little known fact about Amy Lawrence. I went through a stretch when I was in college where I was watching all my children. Late high school, early college. Because I loved Susan Lucci. I was mesmerized by Susan Lucci. And so when I wasn't in school during my summer breaks or when I had some time, I was watching all my children. It was a brief stretch, maybe a couple of years, and mostly summers where I would get into it. Because you know, in a soap opera, 3 months. It takes them 3 months to go through one day in the life of the soap opera family. And so I was watching soap operas, and you get to the point where, duh, you realize that's so over the top and none of this is actually believable because nobody has that much drama in their life. And certainly no families and no towns do. But for a while, it's entertaining. I felt like that when I was seeing the headlines just spewing off of social media on Tuesday. The Cavaliers, they're a soap opera family, at least right now. And it's just one big storyline after another. And the hits just keep coming. Remember, this is 10 days. Oh, so nostalgic. And listen to that music. It's so old.
That's what real men do.
They do. They watch soap operas, LeBron. This is just 10 days after the Cavaliers were in the NBA Finals. I'm sure I'm the only one who remembers this now because after all, the Warriors did reclaim the Larry O'Brien trophy. But how about that game three where they essentially stole defeat from the jaws of victory? They had the lead most of the game and then didn't score those final 3 minutes and change. And then in game four, they blow the doors off. Now, you're not typically going to get a Warriors team giving up, was it 49 points in the first quarter of that Friday night game four? But still, the point is the Cavaliers were just there. They run roughshod through the Eastern Conference playoffs. But because they lose to the Warriors in the NBA Finals, there is panic inside the Cleveland organization. It's only getting worse.
Got mashed
by this spiral of crazy news stories, some of which you probably shouldn't believe. But the hits just keep coming. It was really nice of David Griffin, according to reports, to leave all of his notes and all of his work intact there For the next GM, we don't know who that will be, though we think Chauncey Billups might be a part of things in Cleveland. But he and Dan Gilbert part ways, like we talked about in yesterday's show, and he leaves all his work behind so that the next guy can continue fielding calls and maybe making a trade for a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler. Except later in the day on Tuesday, Jimmy Butler tells the Cavs, no thanks. Through his agent, he says, no, I'm good. I actually want to stay in Chicago. Now, Chicago as a city, certainly attractive for an athlete. But Chicago as a franchise, as a basketball team right now, you want to talk about drama? Well, they had plenty of it this year. And according to CSN Chicago, there's friction between Fred Hoiberg and Jimmy Butler. And actually, there is some talk that the Bulls are intent on trading him. They're intent on trading their superstar. Even went so far as to say it was either going to be Cleveland or Boston. But Butler's camp makes it very clear that he's not interested in a long-term deal with the Cavaliers, which means after 2 years, that's what he's got left on his contract. There's an option for a fifth, but he's got 2 years left on this deal that are guaranteed. He'd be out of there. So are you really going to give up assets? Similar to the Paul George situation, are you really going to give up big-time assets for 1 year with a guy? So Jimmy Butler, even though it was the opposite of the Paul George announcement, has the same effect for the Bulls. Now they're less likely to get what they're asking for these players, though they're going to continue asking, because it would be a short-term rental. You also had Kyrie Irving, again, through his camp, floating it out there that, hey, you know what? If LeBron James leaves town, I'm going to force my way out of Cleveland too, because I don't want to deal with another rebuilding project. I don't want to go back to the lean years. All of this kind of happening because of Dan Gilbert's decision and David Griffin's too, to part ways. It's become a disaster. 10 days after they were in the NBA Finals. We have people who are certain that LeBron James is going to leave. And you know what? If I'm LeBron James, and let's say Kevin Love gets traded, and they don't pull in Paul George or Jimmy Butler, something different, or maybe it is one of those guys, but it's only for 1 year. I mean, yeah, the Lakers who are moving and shaking, and Magic Johnson, who right now has got the buzz around him and around the team, maybe becomes a little more attractive. Some Cleveland fans even calling up suggesting that the Cavaliers should be trying to trade LeBron James and get something for him before he walks, because people are so certain that he's going to be out the door too. I mean, this is days after the promised land. And might I remind people, a year after they won a championship, there's three unprecedented years in Cleveland basketball. Richard Jefferson, he did kind of the media circuit on Tuesday. And not only did he say that he was surprised at the parting with David Griffin and Dan Gilbert, but he had really high praise for the GM who led them to three straight NBA finals.
He did something that not a lot of people can say that they've done. And he, you know, he changed really, you know, a city. You know, the team that he put together, obviously having LeBron and Kyrie and all those things help. But, you know, putting the right pieces around those guys is the job of a general manager and an organization. And he did a great job. You know, I joked with Dave McMenamin and told him that he's kind of the Theo Epstein of Cleveland. You know, he helped end a curse, and not just a team curse, but really just a citywide curse.
And yet, does it feel to some Cavaliers fans like they are cursed again? Like this was short-lived and it's almost over? That was from Mad Dog Radio on SiriusXM, Richard Jefferson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're surprised. I truly believe the players didn't know anything about this, nor did Ty Lue. So the drama amped up for the NBA offseason with the draft coming up tomorrow night. We're asking you on this show, what's your favorite offseason in sports? Do you prefer the hot stove and the short offseason for Major League Baseball? The strategic offseason for the NFL, where there's something seemingly every month? Or do you like the NHL, where they unveil new uniforms every year? Plus an expansion draft this season. So you can find that poll on Twitter at A-Law Radio or our show Twitter as well. We got a great treat for you because football never stops. Before he goes on the air with Good Morning Football on the NFL Network, former wide receiver Nate Burleson, who's also now part of the NFL Today, he's the newest cast member, he's going to join us for a couple of minutes. That's straight ahead. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
3, 2, 1. Oh, my!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hi, this is JB of CBS Sports.
Hi, I'm Ian Eagle.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance of CBS Sports.
This is Boomer Esiason of CBS Sports.
And I'm Arts and Craftsy Tony Romo. And I have cable.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, my gosh. Such a cast and crew. Does that not make you hungry for fall and Sundays this fall? It does. Just hearing that music and knowing that we're getting closer. We're inching ever closer to football season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and cbsportsradio.com. Football never stops. You know that. It's one of our favorite off seasons in sports, to be sure. And we're really excited to spend a couple of minutes with former NFL wide receiver and new NFL Today analyst Nate Burleson, who will be going on the air very shortly on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. Nate, there's been a ton of chatter this offseason, but some names that stand out. And one of them is Odell Beckham Jr. All of this hullabaloo about him not showing up for OTAs. You were a guy that was in that world who went through a lot of off seasons. How much does it actually matter to players when guys don't show up?
Well, it depends. It depends on the players. It depends on the situation. For OBJ, the way that he approaches the game, and I'm just talking from a passive standpoint. I'm not talking about the meltdowns that we see, but how he approaches the game from an intellectual standpoint, going out there trying to make every play for his team, guys understand that he loves football. So the voluntary workouts are just that. If I was on that team, I would look at that situation and say, hey, OBJ, handle your business. Now, you're not going to miss all summer. You're not going to miss training camp. You're not going to miss training camp. But you are sending just a slight message to the squad saying at some point we have to start the conversation for me to get paid. It's all fine and dandy that he signed a huge deal with Nike and putting some money in his pocket. But when it comes to getting paid for what you do for a living, he's underpaid. So it's not a big deal. Now, if it was a guy that was still learning the system, if it was a guy that underperformed, if it was a guy that hasn't fulfilled expectations, then everybody on that roster would be yelling to the top of the mountain saying, listen, bring your butt to camp. We need you here. Not only will the team improve, but more importantly, you need to improve because you didn't do what you needed to do last season.
In addition to Odell Beckham Jr., we have Colin Kaepernick, who still is one of the biggest names of this NFL offseason. It's a conversation outside of football amongst fans, but it's also a conversation inside the world of football. What would you say to him as he waits for a team to call, waits for another opportunity to play in the NFL?
I would say just be patient. You don't have to do anything aside from what you've been doing. You know, there's different trains of thoughts. There's some people that say, you know what, Colin, you got to go out there and show everybody what you're doing. You got to put workouts on your Instagram, and you got to tell these people on Twitter that you're in love with the game. I 100% believe that Colin Kaepernick is still in love with football, and I believe that he can make an impact on the field. You know, people try to tell the narrative that, oh, he fell off and he's a terrible quarterback now. No, he's not. The man had 4 interceptions, 16 TDs last year in limited time and still could run. He's still young. And that was with, you know, really limited interaction with the team, and I know if he's going to be there in the future. So my advice to him is keep doing what you're doing, man. It's not often nowadays where a guy is willing to stand for something. And I said it before, and I'll say it again right here and now. It's funny how he could be turned into the villain when, if you really break down what he said, if you really dissect what he said, not the action and how you feel about the action, but dissect what he said. All I want to do is make this country a better place for everybody. And that's holding the cops accountable. That's holding the streets accountable. That's holding people that are doing criminal activity accountable. That's holding America accountable. And if you're American and you love this country and people say that this is the best country in the world, we're all living this American dream, anytime there's a nightmare, let's address it. We want there to be more dreams than nightmares in this country. So I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at a guy that's willing to stand for something. There's, you know, quite frankly, there's too many athletes that they sit back, collect a check, and they disappear. I love a guy who's willing to put his check on the line and say something while he's in it, and say something positive and speak honestly. We always want athletes to talk. And then the moment they talk too honestly, we're like, you know what, just shut up and play ball. But the moment he starts giving you cliches or he says, I'm just here so I don't get fined, we're pissed off. So as fans, as media, we got to make our minds up. What do you want? You want a guy to be honest? You want him to tell your real feelings? You want him to stand for something? Then let him do that without criticizing him. Or else you're going to get cliche after cliche, and every interview is going to be boring.
One thing we know for sure is another opportunity will arise because there aren't a ton of quarterbacks just sitting around waiting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Nate Burleson is a former NFL wide receiver, now a co-host on NFL Network's Good Morning Football this morning. Also the newest member of the NFL Today on CBS once the season kicks off. So another quarterback who's been in the news for completely different reasons is Brock Osweiler. Had the miserable year in Houston. We all saw it. Now he gets dumped, unloaded to Cleveland. As a guy who had to work with quarterbacks and had to go through kind of the changes that offenses go through when you change quarterbacks, what do you need to see from a Brock Osweiler that maybe changes your mind or tells you a different story from what everyone's said now for the last year?
Just prove it on the field. He did an interview a few weeks ago, and they said, well, why should you be afforded the opportunity to start on this team? And his quick response was, check my tape. In other words, check my resume. Now, that answer has more shades of gray in it than Christian Gray in the movies. And I'm thinking to myself, you had some good tape, but you also had some bad tape. Now, if I'm a receiver, I walk up to him after hearing the interview. You know, we did everything. I said, hey, Brock, you know, I can appreciate the fact that you're confident in your tape. As a vet wide receiver on this team, you know, I haven't seen enough of it to give you all of my trust. So what we need to do is go out here and put this work on film, on practice, so this organization can fall in love with us, so this offense can fall in love with us. I'm talking about as a duo. I always work with my quarterbacks as a 1-2 punch, even if I was the number 2 or 3 guy, because you have to individually get on the same page, you know, work on a relationship with the quarterback before you guys can be a significant piece of the offense. Okay. And if you do that, if you work inside out and not worry about the media, not worry about everybody saying that your nickname is Stock Osweiler and you went and ran off with the money, who cares about all that, man? You got paid, hit the market at the right time. Now it's time for you to bounce back and prove that you're a legitimate starter in this league. And that's inside out. Don't worry about the outside end. Don't worry about the noise. If you can work inside out, then you'll get the trust of the team. You'll get the trust of the players. And when it comes down to getting trust of the team and the players, that's all that matters. And if you get to the season and the coach is sitting there breaking down that film, they're trying to figure out who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, if Brock put on the best showing all summer and the receivers are standing on tables in that room saying, look, we trust Brock. We want him to be our guy. I guarantee he'll be the guy.
Of course, Cleveland Browns fans are rooting for that to happen, though still somewhat skeptical, but that could be his story. He left behind in Houston a situation where they had a void and they drafted Deshaun Watson. So completely different story. A young stud who lands with a team. He's got no track record with veterans in the NFL. So how does a rookie QB in such an important position earn the trust of veterans in his huddle?
It takes time. When you're a young player, a rookie coming in, and you're trying to get reps and make plays, it's going to take time. What's unfortunate for young guys, you're already behind the eight ball. And you have to understand this. You can't get in your feelings. If you look at Deshaun Watson and you look at the situation that he's in, Tom Savage is going to be the guy. And if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I'm saying the same thing. I'm not mad at him because Tom Savage's first start, he threw the ball to DeAndre 18 times. So if I'm a wide receiver, if I'm D-Hop, oh, yeah, let's go with Tom because Tom's going to feed him, and rightfully so. DeAndre Hopkins is the number one receiver in that offense, and he needs to get fed that rock. Mm. But Deshaun Watson, he's going to have opportunities. It's just going to be limited. And that's where teams put these young rookies in situations really as a test. They're not trying to see if he's talented. They drafted him because he's talented. They're not trying to see how they handle limited reps. Everybody, every player that's in the NFL has been in a situation where their reps are limited. It's when you handle limited reps and you make minor mistakes. One, physically, mentally, emotionally, how do you handle it on the field in real time? And then two, with limited reps, how do you handle that same situation when we replay it on Friday and you're on the same red zone drill, the same coverage, and that safety robs you, and the linebacker drops, and they shift the coverage right before the snap, do you make the same mistake? That's when you see the maturity. Now, if Deshaun Watson can show maturity within that sense throughout the summer, he'll earn the trust of the team. The question is, though, he's already chasing a starter, so how fast can he earn that trust, and will Tom Savage lose their trust at the same time? That's the only way Deshaun Watson is going to end up starting.
Ah, we love our quarterback battles. Nate Burleson of Good Morning Football and the NFL Today on CBS with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. We've talked about some of the moves, some of the changes in the offseason. What's the most significant move or change so far in your opinion?
You know, there's a couple of storylines that I'm excited about. One is the Browns during the draft. They had a great draft, and I know the Browns aren't a sexy story, but when you look at what they were able to bring with Peppers, Njoku, I believe, the tight end, and then also Miles Garrett, of course, that number one overall pick. That's talent on top of talent on top of talent. It's been a while since the Browns have stacked up like that. And then, you know, just trying to piece that all together and work towards the future. I like Hugh Jackson. I like what he brings to the table as a head coach. He's very confident. Shout out to Hugh for signing with Rock Nation. First coach to do that. But it's a situation where now you keep your eye on the Browns. When before, you're like, oh, the Browns suck. They're supposed to suck. Moving on. But now you're watching them because you want to see how fast this young talent develops along with guys that have been there, the two Joes, Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden, that's anchoring that defense. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what's happening. And there's all sorts of storylines surrounding that team that really sparked my curiosity. Josh Gordon, who's still sitting at home. I know he's denied over the summer his reinstatement back into the league, but he's been working his butt off. And I know him personally. If he was reinstated, he's going to add up some defenses. The question is, will he get reinstated, and will the Browns allow him back on the roster? And if they do, that's a huge upgrade and a huge benefit to the already young stout group they have. And then the second storyline is Brandon Marshall going off the board early in free agency, saying, you know what, I'm going to stay in New York. I'm going to go from the Jets to the Giants. And not because he went off the board early. It's because he made a decision. I don't need to go chase these dollars. He could have got paid big in the league. I mean, Brandon Marshall has been doing it for a long time on a few different teams. But that combination with Eli, not having a receiver at that height, and then coupled with Odell and his talent. Last year, Eli was doing what he could do with Victor Cruz, who they didn't utilize. And Victor Cruz was the tallest receiver at 6'1". Odell, 6 foot. Sterling Shepard, 5'11". Now you got Brandon Marshall, big target, 6'4". It's really going to help their struggles in the red zone because they struggle to make plays. They get down there and they're trying to tight ends, hand it off, or even throw to Odell, who oftentimes was bracketed. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Brandon Marshall does and helping round out that receiving core.
And then we've got some new roles in broadcasting, like Tony Romo and Jay Cutler and you, Nate, joining the NFL Today on CBS. Congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I'm just working, trying to bust my butt. I think NFL Today and CBS, they took notice and gave me an opportunity to do an audition. And when I had that opportunity, I really looked at it as a guy trying out for a team and not just any team, the best team in the business. I mean, that CBS crew, you know, James Brown, Coach, Boom, and Phil. Whew. I mean, I'm really honored to be there. So I'm going to keep working my butt and prove that I believe and really try to, you know, help take that show to the next level.
Well, that's awesome, Nate. Can't wait to see the combo on the CBS set Sundays this fall. But you got Good Morning Football coming up on the NFL Network here momentarily. You can find Nate on Twitter at Nate13 Burleson, former NFL wide receiver. And now he's going with the Bill Belichick plan, which is no days off. Thanks so much for the time, Nate.
No problem.
I mean, not just any team, but the best team. We're going to have to flag down Boomer Esiason in the hallway and tell him. We just talked to his new teammate, Nate Burleson. That's cool. He's joining our team. So great to catch up with Nate for a couple of minutes before he does his real job. Good Morning Football. You can catch him on the NFL Network. All right, at A-Law Radio, what's your favorite offseason in sports?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's so funny. Every time we use that rejoin and we drop in snippets of that phone conversation, people will tweet and tell me the receiver's name. It's way more entertaining sometimes we let people flounder. I know, that's kind of mean, right? It happens to the best of us. I stink at names, so, you know, if you can't remember one guy's name, you're not going to hear it from me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, cbssportsradio.com. Thanks so much for listening. We've been asking you, what is your favorite offseason in sports? And we just spent a few minutes with Nate Burleson. He obviously is entrenched in the football offseason, and it's big names, right? Because this is what sucks us in. The Odell Beckham Jr., the Colin Kaepernick, shows upon shows upon shows being done on TV and radio about those two guys alone. But then Brock Osweiler, will he find new life in Cleveland? Thought it was really interesting that Nate brought up two other storylines that he's following, which, since he's a former wide receiver, would make sense. But will Josh Gordon ever get another opportunity in the NFL? Will he get reinstated? And if he does, will the Browns want to keep him on the roster? And then Brandon Marshall, what a difference he might make with the New York Giants, in large part because of his size and a weapon that you haven't seen for Eli Manning in the last couple of years. So, good stuff. But what is your favorite offseason in sports? I'm going to retweet the poll right now on our Twitter, at After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. You know where you can find it. I tell you what, the NBA is making a push for the nuttiest offseason. And it's only been 10 days. Well, 10 days since the end of the playoffs. Of course, a lot of these teams have been working on potential scenarios. But it really gets hot and heavy after the NBA Finals in advance of the draft, which comes up tomorrow night. So yesterday, we saw everything. It wasn't just about the Cleveland Cavaliers. We had hot pursuit of Jimmy Butler by multiple teams, and then Butler through his agent saying no thanks, specifically to the Cavs, but just in general, making it known that he wants to be part of a resurgent Chicago Bulls team. Dwayne Wade picks up his option with the Bulls, and I like the tweet that I saw from David Aldridge. Aldridge communicated with him directly, and Wade's response to the question of why did you pick up your option was 24 million reasons. Okay, T.O. So $24 million option with the Bulls. And you know what? He makes a great case, right? Because he's 35 years old. And even though his numbers last year were good, 18 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4 assists, where else is he going to get a contract for $24 million at 35 years old? He's probably not. So another really fat year in which, or really fat paycheck for the year. He's not really fat. I don't know if this is going to be a fat year or not. It's hump show. Cut me some slack. So those two kind of around the Chicago Bulls. And then the Pacers and the Lakers, who, I don't know, 36 hours ago, weren't going to be talking about a trade for Paul George. Now there's some melting of the iceberg. The difference, though, in what the Pacers are asking for and what the Lakers may be willing to offer, that's a bit of a chasm. Can they narrow the gap by the time the draft commences? The Pacers want a top five pick. Top five. Well, the Sixers already moved up. They're not trading. The Lakers are taking Lonzo Ball at number two, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, so they're not trading. We know the Celtics, they're happy at number three. They've already moved. That leaves Phoenix and Sacramento in the top five. And reportedly, the Kings rebuffed the Lakers, who were looking to trade for that number five pick. So what other options are there? Well, they picked up a late first round pick by shipping Timofey Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell to the Nets in exchange for Brook Lopez and a pick. And I mentioned this earlier, but now that we just talked to Nate Burleson about Brock Osweiler, it kind of brought it back up to my mind again. When I was first reading the details of this trade, it reminded me a bit of the Brock Osweiler to Cleveland situation. The Lakers desperately wanted to clear Mozgov's contract. So $64 million altogether, but he still has 3 years left on it. And NBA, all contracts are guaranteed. They needed to clear that space to be able to make a run at Paul George, but also looking further down the road, trying to set up their pitch to maybe lure LeBron James. This is just, it's an all-in kind of a situation. Think about where we're going to be a year from now if LeBron, in fact, is a free agent. Holy cow, we're going to do it again. It's going to be the third time with LeBron James. What was the year of the decision? Was that 2010? So 2010 with the decision. 2014, where he wrote a letter and indicated that he was going back to Cleveland. We need to read that letter again. I wonder if those things still hold true. Or now that they've won a championship and maybe he doesn't like the direction of the franchise, if the letter was only temporary and not permanent. It was a temporary love letter. Love is fleeting. I mean, it is among sports fans, so I guess athletes can be the same way. It's very sappy. Hey, I was making an analogy here. Don't throw me off my game. Although this could be Cleveland fans over the last couple of days.
You should read the letter over this.
I know I should. Maybe we'll do that in tomorrow's show. That would be kind of fun. I mean, I don't want to kick the Cavaliers when they're down. This is kind of a mess for the Cavs fans. We've heard from many of you. But anyway, back to my analogy. So as the Lakers are unloading Mozgov and that fat contract, and in addition, they're coughing up D'Angelo Russell, I was thinking about the Houston Texans, who were so desperate to get someone to take Brock Osweiler's contract that they actually paid the Browns to take him. Here, take him, and we'll throw in a draft pick. Just please take him. We'll do anything you want. Just take him. So maybe the Lakers not quite that desperate, but they were looking to get rid of Mozgov's contract, and D'Angelo Russell now gets a fresh start with the Brooklyn Nets. Huh. I don't see that franchise making any progress. It could be another really rough season for both of the New York basketball teams if Phil Jackson doesn't get his way in trading Carmelo Anthony and does get his way in trading Kristaps Porzingis. I don't understand. None of it makes sense, except that it's Phil Jackson who's doing it, and so that part makes sense. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227, and then on Twitter, at A-Law Radio. Oh my gosh. Why do you do this to me when I'm in the middle of talking? Tom does this on purpose because he hopes that I'll look over at my Twitter and see what he's done. This is his latest masterpiece on our show Twitter. A link to LeBron James' letter. Quote, I'm coming home. Stop it. Stop it. I can't look at this while I'm trying to be serious on my radio show.
I read the first few lines too and I had to stop.
Would you like to?
I do feel for Cleveland. This is brutal right now to do this. But before anyone ever cared where I would play basketball, I was a kid from Northeast Ohio. It's where I walked. It's where I ran. It's where I cried. It's where I bled.
I'm sorry.
I know, it's tough to get through. It holds a special place in my heart. People there have seen me grow up. I sometimes feel like I'm their son. Their passion can be overwhelming, but it drives me. I want to give them hope when I can. I want to inspire them when I can. My relationship with Northeast Ohio is bigger than basketball. I didn't realize that 4 years ago. I do now.
Where's the I'm coming home part? I'm coming home.
I guess
home.
It's at the end. I guess it's the big punchline at the end.
God, the punchline.
It is. It's the last line. It is. The last two lines. In Northeast Ohio, nothing is given. Everything is earned. You work for what you have. I'm ready to accept the challenge. I'm coming home.
There might be some kind of a Marconi in your future, Tom.
I'm sorry, Cleveland.
I mean, just a year ago that I was yelling, be happy, Cleveland! And Cleveland was happy. Maybe it doesn't matter as much. Is there that chance that it doesn't matter as much because they won a title and it's been three amazing years?
It doesn't.
We're in Cleveland. Nothing is easy.
It doesn't. They won. You know, okay. That was the goal. They won.
Are you speaking
one.
For Cavaliers fans? Because I don't know. This might hurt.
Yeah, I shouldn't. What I just did, I should not be speaking for
Goodbye, them. King James.
No. Why are people piling on?
No.
I mean,
Why
I just.
Why are we piling on?
Yeah, well, we. I just suggest. Okay, it was my idea. You're right. I'm Coming Home by LeBron James. I'm not going to have that show, by the way, until we get much further down this path. I have resisted opening up the phones and social media to ask the question, how would you feel if LeBron James left Cleveland and went to LA? I've resisted it. It's too easy. you know, sometimes I like to raise the bar a little bit and do an intelligent sports talk radio. Sometimes. And so I haven't asked. But something tells me it's coming down the pike.
It'll happen.
If it continues going this way for the Cavaliers, where the hits just keep on coming. Although, here's the deal. Cleveland, you're not alone in this sad sap boat. At least, your top player, let's restrict it to position. At least your center, Tristan Thompson, wasn't traded while he was on Twitter interacting with fans about trades in the NBA. That, my friends, was Dwight Howard. How ironic is that?
Inappropriate.
You can't make this stuff up. Dwight Howard decides on Tuesday evening that he will interact with fans. He'll take questions. He'll do a Q&A, as a lot of people do. I've never done it on Twitter just because, I don't know, I'm not that brave. But Dwight Howard is on Twitter answering questions with fans. He's about 10 minutes into this Q&A session that he opened up with his fans and his followers. And right about that time, the news breaks on Twitter that Dwight Howard's been traded from Atlanta to Charlotte. Mark Spears of The Undefeated puts it on Twitter because that's where all the news breaks, as Dwight Howard is tweeting with fans, not about his trade. He had no idea, but about trades in general. That, my friends, qualifies him for the sad sap of the week. Hey, by the way, Tom, I think I should include you in this. I mean, this is not in any way, shape, or form a surprise to me, but Tom, who is a Cleveland fan, just wrote that we are the worst show on 92.3 The Fan. Of course. Of course we are.
And proud of it.
Oh, goodness. It always happens. This is how unhappy Cleveland fans have become in the last year. Some of you, not all of you. Some of you have been kind. Not all of you. Whew. All right. It's sports. It's not life or death. We can do this one day at a time. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the superstar battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We got through Hump Show. You get through your hump day, America. Thanks for listening. Be happy, Cleveland. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.